Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Arsenal edition. This is your host, Dean, and I am here with the full gang, the full lineup, but we're going to be classy about this shit. And go ladies first. How are you doing, Gabby?
I'm here, ain't I?
It wasn't that bad. Come on. Oh, man. Mitch, how are you?
Bad. I was, like, irrationally angry, and I took, like, a 30-minute, like... It wasn't intended to be a power walk. It was. I was basically running in the way that I was walking with such anger. It was compiled by the fact that I was watching Nebraska volleyball at the same time, and they were also playing bad when the game ended. So I was just angry. But now Nebraska might win, so we're okay. But I was angry.
Fair enough. Do not mention Nebraska again for the entirety of this pod.
Okay.
Next pod, you get to do it. No more of this pod. You're done, Coach. You went to a friend's house to watch the game. Ooh, I have public transportation. I could go places.
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
It was a good day. It was a good day in general. The result wasn't great, but we barbecued, we talked shit, we organized some shit to do later on in the year. It was cool. It was good stuff. Can't complain. Lots of good food, man. Lots of meat. Pause. Can't complain, man.
Strike that from the record. That was more than a pause.
I would actually like to submit into evidence that he was trying to set up his own pause. Like he had that pre-planned
Jail,
and written out.
No, seriously, and I realized I was saying it because I was remembering literally how much meat was on the grill. I was like, that oven. Might have been like half a lamb, a whole cow, about seven chickens.
Right, just leave the haram to Amarim, please. Enough. Enough. Any event, we're here to talk about Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0. This is the first time Arsenal have seemingly lost a game against the Big Six in what feels like three seasons now.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm not going to do a lot of talking today, I don't think, with the rest of the gang on the podcast, but I'm finding it very difficult to be upset about what I saw today. You know. However, we did have a big old juicy debate before the game started because of the lineup, which is where we always start. So today it was Raya, Timber, Saliba, Gabriel, Calafiori, Zubimendi, Rice, who else? Madueke, Gyökeres, Martinelli, and Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby, you were instantly unhappy. Why were you unhappy at that lineup?
Well, if you look at that whole entire lineup, most of it's what we play every game, basically, other than like if we were swapping fullbacks. But the Martinelli and Moreno one is a shout that people made last week, I think. And they said, I think that they're getting rested for this Anfield game. And the Martinelli one makes sense, but the Moreno one does not make sense to me at all. His best position for us is at center forward as a false nine. And that is not where he was playing because obviously we had Gyökeres up there. Not to mention, if you already have two people in the pivot, the Zubimendi and the Declan Rices, where is the creativity coming from? Where is the creativity coming from? We have maybe like three people on the bench that weren't playing in this game, that didn't start in this game, that should have probably started. Two or three people that should have started. And one of them is in hindsight, maybe, but the other two, you at least bare minimum put Eze out there. At least bare minimum put Eze out there. I had a lot of shouts for Eze should start in the 10. He should be starting in Odegaard's space, you know, if he's not fit. And I didn't think Odegaard was going to be fit, which is fine. But I was like, you put Ethan as your backup to Odegaard. Be brave. Put Martinelli on the bench because I don't want to see him. Put Eze on the left. And if anything, put Ethan in Odegaard's spot. And if you're not going to do that, at least put Eze in Odegaard's spot. We didn't see any of that.
Mitch, do you want to handle the other side of that argument?
Yes. I mean, I want to start out by saying that I do think that starting no attacking midfielder was a little bit frustrating to see at first. I think I like the idea that Arteta went with of trying to go for physicality in the way that Newcastle did last week against Liverpool. That saw some real results even when they had 10 men against Liverpool's midfield. But I think the biggest thing that I was frustrated by was the lack of progression from our midfield. I think one thing that Odegaard does so well that really flies under the radar is how he brings the ball forward and connects the attack to the midfield and defense. And the fact that we didn't have someone like that being able to do that meant that we were just passing it around the back a lot. And I think I would have liked to see that more, but I liked the idea of just having a bunch of big fellas out there trying to just win the physical battle. And I think it's a starting lineup built to draw a game, which 9 times out of 10, we draw that game.
The idea that anything Odegaard does goes under the radar is it's fucking news to me. But coach, do you want to settle this argument? Where do you land on the equation? You know, like, do you understand why Arteta made the decision to start Marino, or do you think he was being a coward?
Yeah, to roll it back a bit, I think Odegaard's progression, to be fair, outside of anything else that he might not do so well, is probably the part that I think he's not expected to do, but he actually does well, which is part of the problem, basically. He shouldn't be progressing the ball, he should be receiving it high. So, but he does progress the ball really well. So that it could have helped today, it could have been annoying, I don't know, but I would have 100% started one of Eze or Wanyeri. That would have been my call. Whether it's Eze on the left or in the 10, well, not in 10, or the most attacking midfielder, or Wanyeri instead of Marino, and just played with Martinelli and Madueke on the wings. One of those players to me should have started. That was where I was at with it. I personally would have started them both because I feel like Ranieri starting, while it might be a bit daunting, if you've got Eze there, he would be the chief and senior creator. I get he's the new guy, but he's a 14-year international who's 27 years old. He's got tons of experience. He's balled out at Anfield year in, year out. It's the third game of the season. You know what I mean? We lost anyway. I know we're saying in hindsight, but have a go at him. Have a go at Szoboszlai. Like, just have a go at Szoboszlai rather than just be as conservative as we was. That was what really annoyed me. At the bare minimum, one of them should have started. I understand it because of what happened on Tuesday, and Liverpool, not just Liverpool, what they showed against Bournemouth as well. Like, Liverpool are not there physically for me. Like, a lot of teams are gonna have good days against Liverpool physically, like we did today. So I understand it. I just feel like he overcorrected a little bit on it. So yeah, one of the creative players 100% should have started for me.
So, Gabby, this is for you. Based on the way the game progressed, like don't skip ahead too much into details, but at the halfway point, which manager do you think was happier?
At the halfway point,
When we went to half, who was happier?
probably Mikel, because he's a football terrorist. Like, we hadn't conceded at Anfield, and we quieted the crowd a little bit because they weren't playing that well. Liverpool weren't creating chances and like bopping us or anything like that, which I did not expect them to do anyway. So I think Mikel was happier.
Yeah, obviously the result is what it is now, but personally, I felt as if the way the game progressed throughout the half and the way it ended at halftime, that is, that for me justified the decision to start Marino and Martinelli. You know, because for me it was just an overall defensive approach to the game, which I suppose is not ideal. That's not what people want. But when you haven't won at a ground in how long, coach? Since 2011, was it? The Diaby game?
2012,
2012.
2012, the Diaby game. I do feel as if there's room for someone to exhibit some conservativeness, some humility, if you will. You just don't go to the defending champions and say, you know what? They're not physically as good. Let's blow them out the way. It's easy for Bournemouth to do that. They don't have shit to lose. Arsenal has shit to lose. We're actually competing for the title with them. You know, so trying to get a point at your biggest competition's ground, to me, I'm not going to criticize a manager for that, guys. But
I will
I
say that.
don't think you guys are wrong to want more, but that's how I feel.
I will say, regardless of lineup, when teams come to the Emirates, and nobody can tell me otherwise, because I can 1,000,000% prove you wrong, all these teams come to us for a draw, whether they want to admit it or not. Liverpool come to us for a draw, City come to us for a draw, especially in recent years, they come to us for a draw. What do you call it? Chelsea try and get a draw, but we just blow them away anyway. Like, they come to Emirates for a draw as well. So it's not just, oh, Arsenal going to away grounds and just looking for a point. So that side of the argument, I understand. What is just annoying to me is that I feel like we missed a little bit of opportunity there. That's what we didn't. We saw the opportunity there on Arteta. Absolutely saw the opportunity there, and he still decided that I'm going to try and if we can get a win, great. But I'm going to try and leave whatever point basically. And I just feel like with the lineup already, you've already kind of set the tone in a way, regardless of how the first half went. Regardless of how the
But
first
if
half
you outplay the team, what do you mean regardless? I
went.
mean, we all
Well,
watch the same game. If you outplay the team at home, if you outplay the defending champions at home, Madueke gets all these shots. There are opportunities to play Gyökeres and that don't happen. I'm struck. I mean, I'm Mikel coded. I'll admit that. I'm a huge Mikel
that's
guy.
not, it's not, it's not,
But this is
you.
frustrating to me because I feel like we're holding this man to a ridiculous standard.
No,
Like
it's
they're
not.
literally defending champions.
It's
Just
not,
because
it's not, it's
Bournemouth
not that.
lost to them doesn't mean that we're going to base our tactics on what Bournemouth did. That's ridiculous,
It's
guy.
not, it's not, it's not that. What I'm saying is, it goes back to my point. I genuinely think, and it's probably more Eze I'm annoyed with, because Eze shouldn't have been expected to finish the game, but Eze could have given us an hour today. That's what I genuinely think. So Boslai was there to be got at, you know. That's really what my frustration is, that we go there, and then guess what? If it doesn't work, then we still have Martinelli to come off the bench, basically. You know what I mean? So that's where my general frustration. The rest of the lineup, I couldn't really care less, more than anything. Like Marino starting is annoying, but had we supplemented that with a genuine creative player in the front line, no issue for me. But there was
See, this
gone.
is my question to you guys, though. If from Mikel's perspective, sure, it makes sense. But for me, I'm thinking of it in a way. We know the lineup that he put out today is good enough to get a draw. But are they good enough to win that game?
Yes.
Probably not. I don't think that they're good enough to win that game at Anfield, personally. However, hold on. Hold on. If we start with, let's say we start with just one of the two that we were talking about, Eze or Ethan. If we start with Eze, is putting Eze in there still good enough to get a draw, which is what he wanted, probably? Yes. So why didn't he just start with that? If he's good enough to get help you get a draw, then just start with that.
Well, let me ask you this, Gabby. What did you think of the transfer window?
What did I think of the
As
transfer
far as
window?
this
I
trip,
think
like, what would you grade it out of 10?
so far, honestly, this is like the best transfer window I've ever seen from Arsenal. It honestly like maybe a 9.7. The
And why?
only
And why is that?
You mean like why don't give I a 10, or do you
Like,
mean
why
like
do
why do
you
I
think
think?
10 out of 10? Like, do you like all these players that came in? Do you trust them?
I think that he brought in really good depth. Yes, I do.
So, what's the problem with him using the depth?
But he didn't
I guess
use the depth.
Marino
He
just.
brought he used the same players he's been using since last season.
Is Marino not supposed to play ever? Is that what we're saying, guys? Unless he
I
plays.
didn't say that. I did not say that. But I said in this game, this specific game, for what you thought you needed, and I also think this was our best chance to beat them at Anfield, by the way. This was our best chance to beat them at Anfield.
Without Saka?
We play them without
Our
Saka
best
all the
player wasn't
time.
there. I don't know if we can go into a game being like, it's our best chance to beat them in
Yeah,
Anfield
but
when we don't even have our
we
best
play
player.
them without him all the, at this point they always get the luck where they play us without one of our best players. It just is what it is. We even lost a player in this game. Like
And that's a good place to segue into the actual match itself. Thanks, Gabby. Fourth minute. Fourth minute. Ridiculous. Saliba goes down. Mitch, do you know what happened? I still don't know. What happened to him?
Apparently it was in warm up. It was like a twisted his ankle in warm up, said he was good to go, and he lied. So I don't know what happened. Arteta seems to think it's serious, which is not good. Coach, did you see something differently?
No, everything you said is pretty much what I heard. I just want to defer to the fact that Arteta clearly isn't taking any chances with these players, and he's just the moment you walk out of rhythm to how you usually walk, he's like, get the fuck off the pitch, basically. He's like, I'm not taking a chance, which is good. And I know Arteta has taken a lot of pelters today already. Let's try and be a bit fairer here. I think it's a good thing that he's using the squad, basically. He's like, all right, cool. I bought you because I trust you. I've got the best centre back in the world, and he doesn't look 100%, so I'm going to get him off and get you on because I think you're good enough. And I think he was proven right, basically. So that's a good thing there. What annoyed me about it is the fact that could we just have a set, like the last two times we played Liverpool, especially in the first fixture of the season, we've lost defenders. And it's just like, can we just not do, can I, it's not anybody's fault. If people say it's legacy injuries because Arteta's been overplaying the players, I don't give a fuck. I think that's nonsense. You've got no grounds to even say that. It's just an emotional response. But that's what really annoyed me. What I will say though is, I think with international break coming up, it's good that Arteta can just say, you know what, you're not going, basically, and Philippe will, like, fine, basically. So I think 2 weeks of rest, especially with a potential ankle thing, Arteta lies all the time. He's probably lied today in his post-match as well. So I think it's good. It happened, and we still lost the game, but at least Mosquera was solid, you know. So.
Was solid. Gabby, in the moment when that substitution happened, where was your confidence level out of 10?
Honestly, I was still pretty high on confidence. I already went into the game thinking we were going to get a draw. I did not think we were going to win this game anyway. So I was like, if it's going to be any injury, I mean, I'm okay with it being Saliba from Mosquera. He's a very good player. And he came on to prove me right. I mean, did anybody feel shaky with him at the back? I know some people are saying like, I don't listen to commentary, you know. I hate Lee Dixon, but the way that he was talking about him, like, oh, he started off a little bit, whatever. I
Even
was
his
like, I
first
thought he started
touch.
off, yeah. I was like, I thought he started off fine,
Yeah,
and he played fine the whole game.
I think it took him a little bit to get into the game. I think his passes weren't exactly there, but he looked very, very comfortable for a guy like coming in that situation.
And
Like
he
that's
was
a high
aggressive.
bar to come in for.
Yeah, he was really aggressive. Like, to me, he played as if he had a point to prove, but also, like, guys, trust me. Like, I might look a little, gangly and goofy and shit, but like, he's trying to prove a point that, like, he's trying to get up to speed as quickly as possible. And I think also there's an element of Kiwi there as well. Like, they're both, even though they're both big and tall guys, they look very unassuming. So I think today I trust Mascara. After today, I'm, as far as I'm concerned, I trust Mascara. Ekitike got two and two in his first two games. He met him, and that was it. He met him and Gabriel, and that was it. I'm sorry. He's won me over with this performance alone, straight away. So,
Performance at Anfield definitely deserves that sort of credit.
yeah.
That's let's talk about the sort of like the technical pile-on effects of losing essentially the person that's our first playmaker in the team. So, you know, when we don't want to, you know, when the press is dialed up from the other team, you know, we kind of a lot of the time, maybe half the time, rely on Raya to kind of play through it for us. If he can't figure something out, he goes long. But for the most part, once we've gotten past that first phase of build-up, that first press, Saliba makes the decisions, then it moves over to the midfielders. Then in theory, we should move over to Odegaard. Then we should go score a goal. But today, without that initial playmaker from the back, I wouldn't say things went poorly, but it did feel as if we're a little more ponderous. Coach, is that a correct observation, or do you think it was just about adjusting to the new personnel that, you know, got swapped out because of Saliba's injury?
Yeah, I think when you have a game plan and you start the game and then all of a sudden you have to rejig it so early, you've been drilled, it's been drilled into you to do this specific way with certain players, and all of a sudden, the building block, it's almost like a Jenga tower. You pull it from the bottom and everything else kind of sort of crashing down. Even though that didn't happen with us, I feel like our plan.
Oh, coach, pause, pause, pause. Hey, listeners, Gabby, Mitch, which one of you did not understand Jenga before coach just explained it to you?
I'm confused.
What are you talking about?
He just said it's like a Jenga tower, and it's like, nigga, we know what Jenga is. Don't explain Jenga to us.
I'm just
Oh,
saying.
okay. I'm like, I'm
Fortunately,
not that young.
There's a few more
Both of
people
our eyes were
listening
glazing over.
to this. There's more people listening to this than just us three. But when that goes, then automatically you're having to find solutions that you probably weren't prepared for, despite Arteta built-in instructions at you. It's not going to work. It's Anfield. It's not going to work mid-game. It's going to take you a while to adjust to it. So yeah, Saliba being our first playmaker is one thing, but then also deferring to Calafiori is not a bad option. Deferring to Gabriel in the last 2 seasons is definitely not a bad option as well. But yeah, you're right. Saliba is sort of like the first sort of playmaker. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think I can't really fault any of our defenders today. There's nothing for me to talk about our defenders. I think our defense was, as always, really fucking good. So.
That's fair. That said, we've been seeing more since preseason, Gabby. We've been seeing a lot of our double pivot. Both of those guys are taking turns to drop in between our center backs a lot. I think what they call that shit, the La Volpiana build up. Or the Lavopiana exit that Pep stole from some Mexican many years ago?
Sir, I'm not a nerd. I don't know.
Let me nerd. That said, does that give you any sort of like, I don't know, anxiety, you know, watching our midfielder sort of vacate that midfield space to go pick up the ball from Raya?
Know if it gives me anxiety. It does kind of annoy me that I feel like our midfield is way more open because they're dropping so deep, but it's something that we saw a lot of last season. Specifically from Declan Rice, he obviously we didn't have Zubimendi last season. He drops deep in between the center backs to collect the ball and try to progress it forward. It's not really his thing, but I'm not worried about it. I just wish that the other people in midfield could progress the ball better. And when we have Odegaard there, he technically can, but when we don't, it's so much more glaring that it's like a wide open space.
Gabby. Mitch, you mentioned issues with progression earlier. Do you, I mean, I know we have this thing about how other teams get to do tactics as well, but how bad did you think it was? Like, 'cause I didn't watch that game thinking to myself that, you know, Liverpool had any sort of control in the game, really.
Liverpool have never had control in a game. That's never happened before. I would describe it as a game where there wasn't a lot of control in the first half. I would say that Liverpool got more when they brought on Curtis Jones in the second half. But I think like we were talking about this morning with the lineup is like I like the idea of this against Liverpool of like feels like in a game at Anfield, there's probably gonna be a game of basketball. You want the big bodies in the middle, and you want to be able to like play four verts up top, basically. Of just like it's we got three guys who can run over the top, who want to be on the ball, who we can try to isolate one on one. And ultimately, we just didn't get as many chances as I think we would have liked to do that. And then also the chances in which we were isolating one on one, other than Nani, wasn't very effective. Because Martinelli was not able to do much against Szoboszlai, and Gyökeres had a real tough day against two very, very good center backs in Konaté and Van Dijk. So like I think that it was just probably an example of the other team gets to play tactics too, because Liverpool looked a little bit more less chicken with their head cut off than they have in their last two games.
Gabby, Mitch mentioned Martinelli's lack of impetus. We've already hinted at him a couple of times that honestly, if we're going to kill one of our darlings, I might as well give it to the person who has the sharpest knife. So tell us exactly
Oh.
what you didn't like about Martinelli's performance today. Well, what specifically did you hate about it?
So I can't just say everything.
No, we cannot.
The fact that he is the bluntest tool in our like toolbox is just so it rattles me so badly. It rattles me so badly. When we were talking about depth earlier and how it was so important to bring in depth for our starters in the window, Madueke came on and he, in my opinion, he was our best player. Like, he was one of our best players. Like, he just looked really good at running at your man consistently and skinning him too. The juxtaposition of him doing that and then Martinelli running at a midfielder who's not even a fullback, who's not even a fullback and not cannot get past him. And then not even trying. Then not even trying. Like, he's just, I saw people talking about it on the timeline, and I'm trying to understand because if you're getting past the, you know, the outrage, the he's just shit. If you're actually looking at analysis of the player, people are saying, there's some people who say, well, he doesn't trust his own body. He had so many injuries that, you know, eventually you start stop trying to play the way that you're used to playing because that's what you got you injured, and then you start doing other stuff. And I'm like, is that even true? I feel like that just can't be true for him.
I mean, Dean, you're an expert.
I am an expert, and it's never quite the same. But not only that, he actually had serious injuries that we just kind of overlooked because at the time he was just gone for a while. But I do want to say, in his slight defense, his performance has not been up to par, straight up. But in his slight defense, I'm not even going to talk about the health thing because I'm not aware that anything is wrong with him right now. But my issue is that if that excuse or justification is good for other players in the squad, I'm not going to mention names, but y'all know what I want to say, then it should be good for Martinelli as well. That's what I'm saying. But you're absolutely right to criticize him today. I was instantly frustrated. He had that moment where we won the ball in midfield and he should have just played Gyökeres. He didn't do that. He didn't shoot. He didn't get a. It
Oh.
was just bad. It was bad. but that's
He makes me
not.
want to tear my hair out. Like I feel like I'm going crazy. I just don't understand people who still believe in him in 2025. Like this guy has given you two seasons back to back where he has not been good.
Well, maybe when Hincapié starts playing in that widest lane, we'll get him closer to
Oh,
goal.
we're okay. We're back to the this guy will unlock Martinelli. Okay.
Hey, it can happen. It can happen. I still believe. If the manager believes, I believe. He was asked during a press conference this week if Martinelli was had a chance of leaving the club. Blah, blah. He was like, no. And as long as Mikel's fucking with him, I'm still fucking with him. But I do understand everyone's frustrations, and he was not good today. He was our worst player today. I'll give him that. Coach.
So here's my thing. Like, Arteta loves him and he started him today, and the idea was to give us some more insurance going back towards our own goal. But Martinelli's biggest gift by far is his space pace and instinctive finishing. And I don't think we platformed any of our attackers today at all, because and that's for me, whether we want to admit or not. The lineup it was a lineup kind of thing, but Martinelli's never ever going to thrive if he hasn't got a proper creative midfielder to consistently just look for his runs when we do have the ball. And even for going,
Do you think, I know we haven't had a chance to watch the game yet, but I distinctly remember in the first half, Saint Martinelli in his position on the touchline, and there was space in behind Liverpool, and there's someone on the ball, I forget who, would either a defender or a midfielder with no pressure on him. Now I'm thinking to myself, why is Martinelli not running there? Why isn't he running? Why isn't he making the run?
And that's my problem with him, the
Okay,
movement. It's the movement.
no. So let me land it. The simple fact is, in settled play, we're not getting anything from Martinelli. We're just not. We're just not. And for me, if Martinelli's gonna play, I'm not saying he's good enough for us to change our entire attacking philosophy, but if Martinelli's gonna play, it's completely dead, and I mean dead in the water. If we're going to play a possession and based game, it just is. There's literally zero point in us doing it, because we're going to have a player on the left that the, it's a void. There's nothing happening there unless you're going to be consistently looking for clipped balls over the top or ball through for him to run onto. Nothing happens with Martin, because when the ball gets to him, he just gets bullied off it or he loses the ball. Nothing happens there. So what's the point of him being there in the first place if we're not going to at least play to those strengths? Which leads me on to the next point. Gyökeres. Gyökeres playing there with that midfield behind him and those two wide players. I have zero issue with Gyökeres today because he needs service. And there was nothing there in the team to provide him with any service. As well as Rice played, kind of thing. Rice is not a creator. He's just not. Zubimendi is good at getting release in the forwards. But creating chances, forget about it. Marino is no. Marino is just, we had this conversation last year. Marino is not creative. He's just not creative.
I'm not acting. I'm not
He's
acting
just
that.
not creative.
I'll never agree with you on that. I just want to be very clear
Let,
about that.
okay, okay, okay. Let me ask, let,
Because
let,
we
let, let me.
both watched the game at the Bernabeu and celebrated it together, and you're telling me this guy's not creative? Who has to set Saka for that goal?
Okay.
Who has to set Ethan for a goal against Brighton?
Let me finish here. If you're ranking, I'll even be fair. I won't say three, right? Rank Arsenal's top five creators, regardless of position. Our top five creators. Name any, this is the open question to anybody. Our top five creators. Like anyone. I'll wait.
Saka, Odegaard, who? Well, Eze now,
Okay, yeah, go
and
on.
this is in no order.
It's not
But
in those order, I'm just saying.
those three for sure. Honestly, in my
I
opinion,
said five, though. I
Calafiori
said
is on
five. I'm
there.
being fair. I'm being fair. I said five. Go on, who else?
So just,
Calafiori is on there for me. I
okay.
get what he's doing here. It doesn't matter. Like the idea that there are more creative players in the team doesn't mean that someone isn't creative.
No, but the point I'm making is you have three midfielders in the team, and Marino is the most creative one of all of them, with
I'd give it to
Zubimendi and Rice
Zubimendi.
behind him. That
I'd give
is
it to
not.
Zubimendi, to be fair. I'd give it to Zubimendi, to be honest with you.
Okay, cool. But Zubimendi is playing 40 yards from their goal.
That's
So
fair.
it's no use to us there. Let's be honest, it's no use to us there. Marina being our most creative midfielder in that zone with that midfield three, again, there's no use to us there. Because he's not going to find slip balls down the side for Gyökeres. He's not gonna receive the ball in the half turn. He's just not going to do it.
Today doesn't mean that it can't happen.
He's
Okay,
not. He's not.
I
But
don't,
he's not creative enough.
not accepting this
In
line of play.
his career, in his career, okay, in his career, right? In his career, has he ever been a creative? I mean, genuinely a creative force in a game where you say, okay, Mourinho created seven chances, for example. I could rattle off God
But
knows how many games.
the idea that he's not of use, like, did he play poorly today? Let me
But
ask
see,
you.
I think that, but
So
I
I'm
think
not
that's the
talking about, I'm
problem,
talking
Dean.
about off the ball stuff. I'm
Hold on,
talking
yeah.
about when we have the
Did
ball.
he play well today?
He played all right. He wasn't anything special. He played all right. If I'm talking about our best midfield performance today, it was Rice hands down. That Rice was ridiculous. But what I'm talking about for specifically when we have the ball, because he's not off the ball, he's gonna be fine in it. Tactically, Mourinho is a cheat. Tactically, Mourinho is great. Creative. I'm not just talking about being jinky or looking for slide rule, but I'm just talking about finding a way to do so. Because Saka, the way Saka is creative is different to the way Eze is creative. It's different to the way Odegaard's creative. But Saka is still creative. I can't pinpoint in my mind what is a creative attribute that Mourinho has, other than the fact that he's got good movement. But I can't say he's got a great final pass. I can't say
Got
even say he's got great. Um,
a good
but,
final pass. He has excellent pausa. He can
okay.
change the picture very easily from any phase of the pitch, even though I don't want him getting it in the first place. That should piss me.
If that if that's the case, if that's the case, right? Why do we have, to my mind, at least five other players who you would agree are more creative than him? Because he's not in the Mourinho. Mourinho's not in the team to be creative, guys. Like he's not. He's just not. He's not in the team to be
The
creative.
idea that he's going to get a ball in like a dangerous position and not do something creative with it is just, I mean, again, did you watch the game at the Bernabeu?
Yes, bro. And
What was that? What was that? Does that not count for
It
anything?
was fine. But
It was
anyone can
fine,
do
bro.
that.
You just hand wave it. It was
And
fine.
it was
Like,
fine,
there are people in the team that you think are more creative than him that
I
have not
think
done anything like that. I don't understand this. It's
so
too.
to
Oh, God.
think what I think coach is saying, at least in my mind, just because it's happened, especially in a big game like at the Bernabeu, just because it's happened before doesn't mean he can do it consistently, because I do not think he can.
I don't know.
When we
I
bought,
thought he was
okay, let,
fantastic.
okay, let me ask a better question. When we bought Mourinho, was your instinct, oh yeah, great, another creative player?
No, he
Was
was
that
talking
instinct?
about
What
tackles.
anyone thought? Was that what anyone thought?
My instinct was we have a good, more offensive version of Rice. That was my instinct.
He's a solid central midfielder who isn't particularly an amazing central midfielder, but I like Mourinho. He's just not what I'd want to take to Anfield and say, regardless of injuries or not, okay, you've got a creative job to do today. I'm just looking and thinking, no. N
So,
like, no.
Mitch, let me bring you back in. Given the way that first half went, because maybe I'm over-indexing it, maybe I thought it was better than it actually was. Maybe you guys saw something, or I saw things you guys didn't see. But I thought that was a good first half in which we, like Liverpool, up until the 35th minute or so, had no box entries. They did not get the ball into our box at all. We had several. We had shots on goal. Nani Madueke, whoever we've already complimented, had, ran at Kirkus a bunch of times, made him look pretty nervous, had a shot that Alisson did well to save. So how did all these things happen if we didn't have enough creativity on the pitch at Anfield?
Cause we're very fucking good. Like we are.
Happened in
Just
spite
flat.
of that. That's the point I'm
Well,
making.
coach, you
Can you
have
let
to
us
know.
talk? You
Let
talk for
me
30 minutes and
talk.
then get to that. Now you want to say some shit. Shut up, coach. Move on, Mitch.
I think the prevailing narrative for today is that Arsenal were cowardly or didn't go for a win, but we got closer to a win than Liverpool did, like just off of statistics alone. We had more shots, we had more expected goals. That's a game of soccer that goes the other way, like 5 times out of 10, and it's a draw the other times. Like, because you score a goal in the top corner does not mean you are the better team, and I don't think Liverpool were. I think it's just frustrating to not have like the creativity on the ball that we lacked today. And also just like the control of the ball. I think especially like the first 5 minutes of the game, it was like frustrating. It was like, are we gonna like have a sustained period of the ball? And then, well, I mean, we grew into the game, we got it, we came through the storm, but like we didn't play bad today. Did we like create a lot of quality chances? No. Did Liverpool? No, absolutely not. They absolutely did not create any quality chances. They scored from a fucking great free kick. Like that ball is 2 inches to the side, and we're talking about a nil-nil draw right now.
Said Mitch.
I just want to ask.
Cry. All right, Coach, cry about this again.
I just want to ask a genuine question here. Do you guys know how many touches Ranieri got last week against Leeds?
Like, why is this relevant to the conversation we're having
Because
now? It's Leeds, and we're talking about Anfield and Liverpool, and you're talking about Leeds at home.
doesn't matter
So,
that. Yeah, I'm very serious because Ranieri didn't even play the whole game. So Ranieri got 42 touches last week after playing, I think, how many, about 60-ish minutes
against Leeds
against Leeds, right? All right.
in a game that we're already leading when he came on, by the way.
Marino today, 90 minutes, got 27. A creative player should not be leaving the pitch with 27 touches. That's just my point. If he's going to affect the game, you need more than 27 touches. You need to be more available to receive the ball and do shit. That's just my point here. Marino, in my mind, is never ever coming out thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, there's another sort of player there that we can rely on to make stuff happen. It's just not. Marino was there today to help us capture, not to help us create. It's
So
that
did he do
obvious.
his job then?
That's fine. That's fine. We're talking about
Answer the
creativity.
question. Did he do his job? Answer the question. Then you
Yeah,
can
I think he
talk.
did all right. Technically, I think he did all right.
Did he do his job? Yes or no? That's
Yeah,
it.
tactically.
That's all that matters.
But
Did
he
his
wasn't
job.
creative. That's the point we're making. He's just not creative, and he wasn't creative. That's
I'm
all I'm
just
arguing here.
laughing because Dean is gonna die on this hill. I don't know
But
why
he's
you're dying
not.
on this
What
hill.
evidence does that suggest that he
Just
is
like
creative?
I think there's an underlying assumption that if we had put a more creative player on the pitch, that somehow we would have like scored or won or whatever.
No,
Like
it's not
just
even that. It's not even that.
the trade-off was completely worth it. The way we controlled that first half, the trade-off was worth it,
And
and
that's
to be worth
fine.
paying the
We're
price.
not gonna
I mean,
lie. We're not gonna lie and say.
shot that did get deflected and went in. I'm not with it.
But that's fine. But we're not gonna lie and say, oh yeah, that was supposed to be a creative outlet. He didn't do
No one
anything.
called him Rui Costa. Like, I mean,
But
I didn't
exactly.
do
But you
that.
said. But and
Boys, wrap it up.
I'm just
We have a
saying
whole second
we're
half to
not
talk
gonna
about.
lie and say that he's creative when he's not. He's just not. Like, I don't know how else to say it. He's just not creative.
He's not creative, but let's move on. A huge source of frustration for me today, Mitch, was the our right-sided corners. I mean, we have this squad that's supposed to be awesome. Surely there was somebody besides Declan Rice that could have taken an in-swinger instead of the out-swingers that we wasted over and over again today, right?
Yeah, you'd think so, right? I mean, it was. I think maybe the most annoying part is like, damn, we're getting so many corners we couldn't get one on the other side. That'd be, well, maybe it was because we kept winning our corners from Nani Madueke, who was playing really well and plays down the right, and we weren't winning any corners on the left side because Martinelli did not have a good game. But yeah, very frustrating that we kept doing outswinging balls. I think they mentioned on the broadcast that we did four outswinging balls the entirety of last season, and we did five today. That's fucking insane. And Bakayo, I can't wait for you to be back. But I think the maybe other part of that is like Odegaard wasn't on the pitch. He would maybe be the one to take that if he was on the pitch.
He did take a corner when he got on, so yeah.
And also, I think maybe we can see that from Nani Madueke at some point, but I think maybe he's a little too new to be taking over set piece duties.
Gonna say, I think Eze could have helped with the corners, to be honest, but he
Well, he wasn't on the
didn't
pitch.
play.
Like,
Yeah, but
there's a lot of
he
guys
didn't
who,
play.
But
a
he's
lot of
also
guys.
so it wouldn't have made a difference in this specific instance. I mean, he's not that two-footed, is he?
No.
I'm not aware of this. He's not a Cazorla clone, is he? I've never seen Eze.
Nobody's a Cazorla clone, so.
Just making sure. Gabby, the one moment that Liverpool actually had in the first half happened when your boy David Raya decided to light his blunt right in front of the goal and pass the ball.
Why do you say my boy? That's like a parent saying, "Oh, this is your child," when they do something bad.
Well, yeah, that's your boy. That's your boy. Like, why did he do that? Like, why must he do that once a game? Why does he disrespect my bladder so often? I don't understand this shit.
To be fair, I know you're gonna be like, that's unfair, but honestly, why was Marino that deep getting the ball there? I knew that was gonna happen before it even happened. I knew that was gonna happen. As soon as he gave him the ball there, I said he's gonna give it right back to Raya, and Raya's gonna try to pass out. No, I don't want to see that.
That is
It
true. I think VVD's interception was mental. Like he telegraphed it 2 seconds before Raya even wanted to
You
get it.
didn't
Like he was already sprinting. Like he saw
it
it.
was a foul?
It's just aggression. Like Saliba and Gabriel do like 20 of those a game.
If the ball went in, I think they would have looked at it. I'm not sure they would have
Maybe,
given it. I think
but
they
I
would have looked
literally see Saliba and Gabriel do that every game. Like they're
I'm not saying
monster
this shouldn't be
guys.
done. I'm just saying that he hit Zubimendi in the head.
Okay, I
That's
didn't
all.
see that part, to be
When he
fair.
got past him, he hit that motherfucker in the head and he went right down. Maybe they'll say it was soft or whatever, but it definitely happened. And that's what I was looking. I was expecting a whistle when he got the interception, but it was like superhuman. You're right. Like he came out of nowhere. He wasn't even on the screen when the ball got played, shoot. Anyway, Raya, stop lighting your blunt during the games, man. Do that shit after the game. Marino played a nice pass into Gyökeres at one point, but we're not gonna get back on that, coach. Gyökeres set Simba up for a shot that VVD blocked. Then Calafieri got a shot after that, got deflected out. Again.
Wait, before you get away from that, not to get on Moreno again,
Oh God.
that chance, no, that chance right there, that's genuinely the one chance that I actually remember that we created in that game. Like, that was probably our best chance that whole game. Like, genuinely, other than the Eze one, which we will come to. I thought that Gyökeres played that well. That's
The
just me.
Metawake volley was I think our closest to scoring off the corner.
A bit more power in Alisson's in trouble, to be honest. But
I mean, the fact that he even got that shit on target, he like controlled it with his head and then volleyed it. It was unbelievably impressive, and it like the there's an alternate reality where that goes in and Szoboszlai's doesn't. It's just how the game goes.
Right. Coach, you have a bit more of a technical bent about these things. I thought Gyökeres and Konate had a nice little battle. I don't know how much Gyökeres made those runs that he supposedly constantly makes because he's not always on camera. But I felt like he maybe could have done them more, which was, we talked about Martinelli a little bit. Talked about Martinelli a little bit. But I felt like if maybe Gyökeres tried to challenge Konate more by making runs into that left channel, then maybe Martinelli would have had a better game today, perhaps. I'm not blaming Gyökeres for Martinelli's bad game, by the way. Let me be real.
Don't even start that narrative.
But
That's the
what do you make of Gyökeres and the Konate test, essentially?
I think he equipped himself really well. He just didn't have enough chances to show what he can do, because I don't think the good thing about it is, despite him getting monstered by Gabriel and Saliba when we did play them, basically, he didn't give up. And we're seeing that t we saw that today again. Like, I don't expect Gyökeres to win every duel he goes up for, compared to a bit unfair on him, but our legendary number 14, Henri stepped on the pitch every week, was the strongest guy on the pitch. So he'd win all these duels like shoulder to shoulder, no problem. I don't expect that from Gyökeres. Do you know what I mean? The bare minimum is that you keep going, and while he might get, Konate's not a small boy, while he might get got by Konate, he'll try and give it back as well. And one of those chances will fall for him. So it's just the fact that the ball, he wasn't getting enough balls played down the side enough. But when they did, he did what he could with it. Sometimes he would, I remember one time specifically, he actually won the duel, and all it happened is that he ran out of space, basically. But he kept going. To my mind, I kind of maybe about two or three. You need probably about twice that, maybe triple that, maybe eight, nine of those in a game, running the channel really hard. Do you know what I mean? Before you get some change out of something. I just don't think it happened enough. But I'm happy with the fact that he went up against those guys, and I think he did well. Like it wasn't in the areas that he wanted it to happen. He kept going, he kept asking the question. Sometimes it happens for you, sometimes it don't. So
A lot of free kicks, really pressure. I appreciate his performance today. We definitely expect more in the future. Gabby, there was a lot of conversation before the game about maybe starting Miles Balotelli because he's supposedly defensively better than Calafiori. I don't agree with that, by the way, but that's a thought that people have. I understand why they have it. That said, I thought Ricardo Calafiori acquitted himself quite well. What did you think?
I can't lie. I specifically had this conversation and I said, I think we should probably play Miles Lascelles, even though I know he's in bad form right now. Calafiori, you told me to shut the fuck up. And you know what? I love you for that because you played really well today. And I was thinking about it right before we started recording. I was like, did Calafiori play really well and shut Salah down, or did Salah have an off day? And you know, I actually think it's both. I think Salah had a little bit of an off day, but I think Calafiori played really, really well. I think he imposed himself well on him. He's not like touch tight like Gabriel is on whoever he's playing against, but he gave him minimal space to run past him or dribble past him, or and then he also always had coverage too. He's like, I got this, but just in case, make sure you're watching someone behind me if he wants to play the ball. Listen, I was like, say less. Tell I ain't did this today. Fair enough. Coach.
No, I was just gonna say that coverage part, I think, is really a good observation, because I always like to think about our players in clusters and pods, basically. And you're not gonna get any better than Gabriel as your left-sided centre back when you're a centre back, when you're a defender yourself. That he's this is his second season, so he's not kind of, he's part of the squad, but he's still not fully acclimatized compared to someone like what do you call it, Ben White, for example, or even Timber. Timber had one more year than him. He's literally still adjusting. Now, for me, I was worried, and then after the first 5 minutes, I was like, "Oh, Salah's actually done. This is contract. This is like post contract. Like I've seen this before. I saw it with Aubameyang. I saw it with Ozil. He's definitely done. Like Salah's definitely done for me. Like, what are you looking at? What?" Guys, we've seen this story before, guys. He's going to Saudi next year. He's mailing it in. Let's be honest. What today did you guys see? Again, open question before I finish off here. Did you guys see from Salah today? Do you thought, "Oh, wow, there's still fight left in this dog," basically? In fact, I'll make it
Hey
easier for you.
man,
What did you see in the last three games?
I hope you're right. I'm just not gonna be the one that says it.
I'm just gonna let you guys talk about that a little bit while I go take a couple deep breaths that won't sound good on the mic. So I'll be right back.
So,
Listen, in
Gabby,
Jesus' name we
he's
pray.
lying, isn't he? He's lying. You know I'm lying, man. Tell me if he's lying.
All men lie. What do you mean? I don't know if he's done, because that guy can just pull some moment of magic out of his ass, and then we're d sitting here talking about how does he still have it in him?
Okay.
Like,
You're okay, Gabby, you're right. But if there was a left back in the league that you wanted in a big game that you're thinking, "Oh, Salah should be able to get the better of," considering what we've seen of Calafiori, we know what Calafiori's done is great on the ball kind of thing. You'd think it would be Calafiori that he'd use his experience on and whatever else kind of thing. He got nothing out of him today. And this is someone that we love Calafiori for. We don't really love Calafiori for his defending, although he's a competent defender. We don't love him for that. So you're thinking, especially with Salah being a shark that he is, you think you give Salah an inch, he's going to take a mile. So did we see anything today that will suggest that? I don't personally. So, boy, I
I
don't
don't
know.
honestly, I don't think I've seen anything in the first three games from Salah that was like, wow, he's gonna have a season like he had last season. But to be fair, to be fair to him, coming into last season, I was thinking he was gonna be done too. Like,
No.
and he d had the season that he had. Like,
Yeah, and that's fine, and that's fine. But he signed a 2 year extension, and we all know he's going Saudi next year. We just know it. We all know he's going Saudi next year.
do
He's
we
mailed it in.
know?
Yeah,
Do we?
he's mailed it in. Liverpool will get a good fee for him as well. He's mailed it in. But him not playing well, I don't think affected Liverpool much. To me, do you think that they kind of made the adjustment to it straight away? Because I think they're better off with it.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it earlier. I think Curtis Jones helped them get a little bit of stability that I haven't seen from them. They've been playing a different sport than soccer the last two games. And it's been so frustrating to watch a team that's as talented as them play literal basketball and get away with it because they think it's a Disney movie every fucking week. Yeah, it was. I think they just like had a little bit more control in the midfield. I think like what we were trying to do with having a lot of physicality in the midfield did work. in terms of what we were trying to do. And I think as soon as we lost that control, we should have brought Eze and Odegaard on. And I think we, classic Arteta,
He
waited too late
did,
to
to
bring
be
on
fair.
subs.
I think he did.
I think it was like 10, 15 minutes after that.
Yeah, 10, 15 minutes too late. I personally, you know how I felt. I was like, I'm ready for them to come in at the half. Like, as soon as we came in, I was like, I'm ready to see some changes. But I think he waited too long.
I want to defend the man because that's what I do, but I can't disagree. Like, typically, he makes the substitutions on the hour mark.
This
And for
season,
whatever,
yeah. This
today, he
season,
waited until the 70th minute to do it. I don't know that 10 minutes made the difference in the game. I can't say that. But based on the little I saw from Odegaard and Eze, like watching the two eights combine on top of the opposition box, that is mana from heaven from my eyes. I haven't seen that in years. That's what I thought we would get with ESR or Fabio Vieira and Odegaard, and it just never really happened. And today, in literally 5 minutes of play, we saw Eze find Odegaard on the top of the box, which was then followed by a reverse pass to Gyökeres that he wasn't alert to. If he's awake right there, that's 1-0 to Arsenal at that point. But you guys are right. He didn't make the substitutions quickly enough, but they were the right substitutions. I mean, I'll say
They
Coach
definitely were.
always. Oh, go on, Gabby. What was that?
No, I was gonna say they definitely were because the two people I wanted to come off came off. And the two people I wanted to come on came on.
Coach, you've always talked about this siege ball thing. I know we didn't get to see enough of it today, but this proto version of it, where one of the eights is a little further out, but is always cutting in. How'd you like what we saw today? It wasn't much, but we saw something.
I think, ironically, Rice was really good, and both those guys came on, and he got even better because of it. He found guys, other guys that were essentially on his level that he could just give the ball to, and they could trust him with the ball as well. Because the amount of times he took the ball in difficult areas and found his way, I saw him do a Paqueta pass. I saw him drop the shoulder, cut back in field, and like he was felt more confident knowing that okay, either side, if I go right, if I go left, I'm giving it to someone who's going to take care of the ball and make something happen. Like he got better as soon as those guys came on, basically, even though he was really playing at a high level. People keep talking about we should be starting them both together. It's just like you do that, and then what happens to Declan Rice? As far as I'm concerned, our left wing issue has been solved. It's Eze. Now, I would love to see him in the eight with Odegaard and Rice at the six. I think we need an extra physical insurance there. But as it stands now, our best 11 for me, that cluster of Rice, Eze, MLS, or Calafiori, let's say Calafiori for now, but MLS, I still see my vote now. We're not even doing that. It's there. That to me, that side there, the left side is fixed because you get everything there. You get your running power, you get your ball retention, you get your creativity, and you get your shots as well. Like Eze and Rice aren't scared of shooting. So yeah, I liked what I saw, man.
Good. Thanks, coach. Let's see. Konate broke down, which he does sometimes. Sometimes when he has that Real Madriditis, he makes things a little funny. But I know it's fucked up to chuckle about someone getting hurt. I hope he's not badly hurt. It didn't look like it was. But I kind of enjoyed the fact that the guy that was going off against Gyökeres in a bunch of duels and shit broke down and Gyökeres didn't break down. I enjoyed that.
You're a
We got
sick
nothing else against
man.
it, but I enjoyed that a lot. Because if my striker with them abs was the one limping off the pitch, I'd be like, damn, he got bitched. But nah.
Knocking on wood for
Like,
Gyökeres to be the first white
why
pace
would
and
you
power
wish that
player
on
to
us?
not to not have his body break down.
Everybody breaks on at some point. We just look better. All right. We have to talk about this free kick. As Mitch has mentioned on multiple occasions on this pod, Curtis Jones came on and started finding spaces behind our pivot or, in between, just the spaces between our pivot. I did not like that. Eventually, one of those situations led to Zubimendi to foul him. And we all know what happened after that. Obviously, we can't blame the goalkeeper for that. That I don't think any goalkeeper is saving that. That was a hell of a shot from Szoboszlai.
If anybody's blaming Ryan for that, slap yourself.
All
Stop the
right.
nonsense.
But before a ball goes into the net, things happen. And we already talked about how Curtis Jones came on and started finding some spaces. What did we do wrong there? Gabby, I'll let you take first crack at this.
Not to rehash the Verona thing. But he was doing the thing that creative midfielders do, for dropping into the pockets and receiving the ball in the pockets too. I don't know how he was constantly finding himself in space behind or in between our midfield. And it felt like we were wide open, even though we really weren't. It just like that sustained period of pressure that they had, it you just knew it was going to culminate to something. And when he, it's the one thing that like there's a lot of positives to Zubimendi, and it's the one thing I remember when we were talking about signing him and the pros and cons. That's like one of the only cons that he has is that he fouls or he like feels like he has to foul when he can't catch up to someone. When you're already behind him or he's like, I mean, and I know that you feel like you have to take that foul. And probably he should, because it's less, what, less XG from, you know, shooting or whatever, from a free kick, from a dead ball, than actually taking the shot. But I was just like, all right, I just knew we were gonna concede there. It just written in the stars. Anfield is a demon stadium.
Coach, what did you see in those moments after Jones came on? Was it an adjustment we failed to make, or were we just too focused on Wirtz, for instance? Because
I think,
that's his whole game, and we didn't really see him be dangerous today. So we obviously kept him in the Yossi
So he did have
Benayoun
one good chance that led to their offside goal, apparently, where he's flicked it up and volleyed it. But outside of that, there was glimpses where it's like, okay, this is Florian Wirtz, he's going to be fine, kind of thing. But there wasn't enough for me to think, oh my gosh, yeah, he's already firing all cylinders. You're just seeing glimpses here or there. Now, the goal itself, I'm not, what should I say, what led to the goal? I'm not McAllister's biggest fan. It's not because I think he's not a good player. He obviously is. I just think for the style of player he is, he gets monstered a bit too much. Like, it's another game where Rice has just dominated him again. It's a running theme. Like, Rice versus McAllister is the biggest mismatch amongst probably the big clubs, I'd say. Like, it's always going to be Rice beating the shit out of this guy. And Jones coming on was the right move because Jones is way more energetic and way more physically equipped to deal with it. So him making those runs, especially those powerful runs kind of thing, is going to destabilize us. It is. McAllister's never going to do that. And I know he's got all the quality on the ball and stuff like that, but at the same time, all that quality on the ball kind of thing, you're not really affecting it, especially in the big game. You're not really affecting it like that. Do you know what I mean? And Jones, I feel like, gives them something else, and it helped with the goal, So, yeah, Curtis Jones is a really good player. And I'm not discounting him saying that all he does is run because he's obviously good technically as well. But I feel like he's a much better, well, not much, but he's just a better balanced midfielder in terms of all of the attributes. Like, if you're talking about sliders, like, all these attributes are probably around a 75 to like an 80, whereas McAllister is like physical is like 45, like stamina is like 45, technical is like 85, 90 kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, all the, and but it's not as well balanced,
It's like a statistical Jenga you're describing to us right now.
Well, Dean, I don't know if you understand what Jenga is. So it's a tower of blocks, right? And they're built like three in a row,
I'm
and you
gonna ban
slowly
the word
take
Jenga from
All right, let me see. Who do I like most on the pod today that's really made me happy? Definitely not Coach. So fuck you. You can mute yourself. You're not talking again for the rest of the pod, nigga. Gabby, what did you make of the Eze cameo?
It was the Jenga thing that made him not pick me.
Yeah, you were right
I was gonna be picked, and then I talked about Jenga.
It just I can't lie. When he came on, and even before he came on, even before he came on, when I saw on the timeline, they said Eze was warming up, I said, thank God. Thank God. I feel safe. As soon as he came on, I was like, and this is why I wanted him to start. With the first few touches, we looked like we just a little bit better. Even not even just possession wise, like holding the ball, because we had lost a little bit of control in that game. But it was more about getting ourselves up the pitch, like looking direct, looking like just a little bit more dangerous and not as blunt. And we all know that Eze is a great player. He's a great player. His teammates know, the opposition knows. He is somebody that you cannot just leave open He attracts players towards him. And that's something that we talked about before too, which is what we needed on the left-hand side. And that's what I wanted. I was like, good. Because I know Odorcutt can do what he can do. I know, like, Maduweke was playing very well on the right-hand side. But I was like, let me see on the left-hand side, how much better are you than Martinelli? Leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds.
Yeah,
I wish
I
he had gotten
think,
more time.
like Gabby said, we looked like a different team when he came on, and I agreed that I wish he had started. I think, it's tough to start a player that you signed like literally a week ago, where it's like he's still kind of getting to know the flow of his teammates and stuff like that. But I feel like there's but enough players around him in that pod where he maybe could have started, and we could have gotten 60 minutes out of him. But yeah, he looked very, very good. There was one moment that I maybe thought was just gonna be like the moment of us drawing this game was just skirting by on the end line. And it's like, how did you get to that ball? How did that ball get past it? It was really, really impressive. He looked very, very sharp, and some really exciting stuff to come with Eze.
Man, he's my Eze is just one of my favorite players, man. And one of the key things with this, with the current balance of this team right now, is when things aren't going well, we just keep giving the ball to Saka over and over again. And we don't have to do that anymore. We just don't. He'll do it in a different way, but now I feel like he's a lot more he's a lot more trigger happy than Saka as well, which presents teams with a different problem. I love personally, I love the fact that the first two times he went up against the Bosla, he beat him twice. You don't particularly need to be lightning quick to be a tricky winger, to be a pacey winger, or not even to be a winger, but to play wide basically. And that reverse pass he's talking about came from the fact that he's dropped the shoulder and opened up the entire pitch, and he could have picked whatever pass he wanted, and he picked the right one, obviously. And then also the fact that when he's running down and chasing balls, kind of thing, again, he's beating Szoboszlai just by a clever touch that he just knocked it around him and something's come from it. Now, his actual chance that he should have shot from annoyed me, but at the same time, it's like you've got there. You've done most of the hard work, so we know it's clearly a repeatable action. Yeah, I'm not particularly worried about him settling in. I think after the international break, we're not in a forest at home, we're just gonna settle in. He should be starting. We absolutely should be maximizing what we're doing with Gyökeres, and Eze for me is key to that. It's that simple. Like, unlocking Gyökeres is essentially the Eze signing, you know?
Yeah, as Mitch said, there's more to come. I'm super excited, and I really enjoyed the effect of it on Odegaard, because I'm watching him very closely right now, because you guys know I'm
You're a
renowned
hater, yeah.
being a hater, apparently. I hate the captain of the football club I support. I'm a hater. Okay, I'll be that. I'll be the Odegaard hater on the pod. However, I thought it was really interesting to see, when we're chasing a goal, see the ball, as coach said, the ball go right. And Odegaard look and go, there's a teenager next to me, which we're going to talk about in a second here, and go, you know what? Let me send it over to the other guys on that side of the pitch. That rarely happens. It's usually a lot of tic-tac-toe on the right. And I literally watched him look up and go, you know what? We got some better options over there. And he passed it out to the left. And I was like, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Today we weren't, but we will be all right in the future. Yeah, that chance where Eze just kind of lost his balance, that wasn't anything. Nobody's mad at that.
I
No,
wasn't mad at that. I
I won't
just feel
let you.
like
Had he swung his foot, he wins the penalty, I think. Because
that's what I think. That's
Gyökeres
what I
is so
think.
close behind him. If he swings his foot, he wins the penalty. It's that
I
simple.
honestly, when he came on and got that chance, I was just thinking this disease has spread to him where they take an extra touch and don't shoot. It's spreading.
This is a real hater right here. Like, I don't know why I'm being
Yeah.
hated. This is
No,
the
no.
he hates everything.
You're just a hater when it comes to Odegaard.
That's not just the
He's
white.
just a
No, I was saying he's just a
hater.
hater when it comes to white people.
I hate all the. I'm kidding. I love you, white people. This is my
anybody can
pod.
time stray.
I'm on the pod just to balance Dean out because of
Yeah.
the
Yeah, that's not enough cracker. That's not enough cracker. Anywho, speaking of crackers, Max Dalman came on. That's impressive. Guys, like, I don't even care what he did, which was the square root of fuck all, let's be honest. This was maybe the worst Dalman performance of all the Dalman performances. He actually made Kerkez look good for a second. I was like, what the fuck? That nigga sucks.
I saw
Anyway.
him sprint. He hasn't sprinted all season.
He just glides.
is.
That said, I think, I mean, Trossard was on the bench. I'm thinking of who there were other vets on the bench. I mean, there are a lot of people. Max Domon is a child. How much
I
does
know
this
why we did
manager
this.
trust him to bring him on that Evan and think maybe he'll get us a penalty? Mitch?
Because we mistakenly thought that we were the heroes of a Disney movie because we were playing against these Disney movie motherfuckers in Liverpool, where we're like, oh yeah, you know what's gonna counter their devil magic? A 15-year-old getting his first ever Premier League goal. And then it didn't happen because we don't have the fucking Disney movie devil magic that these motherfuckers are running out every week.
It'll happen. Don't worry about it. It'll happen. I don't know how, but I know it'll happen someday. Oh God.
Someday.
Someday.
Someday. I hope
Did
I'm
anyone
alive to
else
see
enjoy
it. No,
how grumpy Timber seemed throughout the game? Then when he had the cramp at the end and him and Gakpo were doing that, I'll help you up, I won't help you up then. It was so mad. He started punching the floor. I was like, you guys realize that this is a pastor.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pastor and stuff set. Like, when Liverpool comes to the Emirates, bro, it's over.
I think he was genuinely annoyed at the fact that he could see that Liverpool were there for the taking. I think anybody that watched the game today would be like, while they won the game and Arsenal weren't particularly inspiring, had Arsenal upped it by another 10-20%, Liverpool were food for them. We never even got into gear of trying to up it. We just didn't. The time that we did, literally, we created three or four, good situations. But had that been consistent over the match kind of thing, those probably turned into actual real chances or goals. It's just you give these amazing creative players 20 minutes to work with. They're good enough to do it. It's just very hard at the home of the champions. And I don't know. It just feels that there was a little bit of opportunity missed. Now, let me understand. Let me just be clear here. It's three games into the season. We lost to Liverpool. We've lost apparently our big six record. Doesn't really mean shit. It's just something we used to troll people with. But I think it just takes the pressure off now in these sorts of games. There's no reason why we shouldn't go to Stamford Bridge and just say, do you know what, we're just going to play you off the park. Chelsea are shit to me. Same thing with Newcastle. We've got the midfielders. This midfield today should basically start
Sir, know
as
your
the game
manager.
starts.
He is not going to do that.
Honestly speaking, he played a half-fit Odegaard as attacking midfielder last year while he had Mourinho available to him. So against Chelsea, and he got an assist. So while we say we know him, he can still do shit we're not expecting. So,
He actually has options to rotate with now.
yeah.
We just need to, like, we know a lot of things about Mikel. He's been around for a while at this point. We know our manager at this point, but I think we should get ready to be surprised a couple times. You know, like some of you thought, what's his face? I saw a lot of people talking about Mwaneri starting. That's how we started this pod. And I said it 4 days ago. I was like, he's going to start Marino. Like, the guy scored twice against Liverpool last season. Mikel likes juju. He likes vibes and shit. That's why we signed Eze. I don't think he signed Eze because he actually wants a player like that. He was like, nah, these vibes are too good to ignore. We're going to sign him. The boy called me. He called me. But that's a good segue into transfers. We have one more coming in, guys. It looks like the Piero Hincapié from Bayer Leverkusen deal is done. Gabby, you hate Chelsea so much that I think you might be a secret Chelsea fan, which means you love transfers. So what do you know about this guy?
From what I've seen, I mean, can I just say before I even get into Hincapié, the fact that everybody did a mass exodus from Leverkusen as soon as Erik ten Hag got there.
And he's about to leave. They're about to
Yeah.
fire
And
him.
he's about to get fired.
That's crazy.
I can't lie, that was quite hilarious to me. But yeah, I like this signing. I don't know much about him because I didn't watch that Juju the title winning season. I just thought that was crazy to me. I thought for sure they're gonna lose a game at least. I was like, it's giving Real Madrid. Go be where you're supposed to be at. You ain't supposed to be in the middle of the Liga. This is some bullshit. Anyway, from the comps I've watched of him, I was like, he just looks spry. Like, he looks like somebody who wants to maraud up and down. Like, and he's also versatile. Like, and that's what Mikel loves more than anything else, a player who can play in multiple positions. He can play at fullback and he can play at center back. And I think that's all the defenders that we got now can play in multiple positions. Every single one of them. And anybody who was complaining about us getting another what's it called, defender? Shut the fuck up. You see, this is why we keep buying defenders. We just lost another one today. This is why. I can't wait to see him play. I would love to see what I wanted at the beginning of the summer is a straight out and out fullback, just somebody who goes up and down and just defends regularly, which is not what Mikel wants, and that's why he didn't get one. But and he's as close to that as we could possibly get next to Ben White.
Which begs the question, Coach. If you had to, we're not gambling people in this pod. We don't do that.
No,
If you had to,
degeneracy.
if you had to bet all your belongings on who ends up being, to our minds, the starting left fullback by the end of the season, who do you think it would be? Him or Calafiori?
I'm still going Calafiori. I'm just praying for his health. I'm still going Calafiori.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Just only because as well, obviously Arteta respects hierarchy and all that sort of stuff. I also just think he's looking at it from what he's currently got, and Hincapié is signing literally on deadline day. While he's got 9 months to obviously bed him in kind of thing, he's got a whole preseason of Calafiori. He's made plans. Like, your last signing isn't in your plans for the season, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So,
Okay, Coach.
go.
I know we said our coach was going to surprise us, Arteta, but we all knew we were getting a left back. Come on. Come on, bro. You know that.
He's
You know that.
huge. Kiwior wasn't gonna be in our plans as our first team. That's the point I'm making, knowing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, Kiwior's going, we're getting Hincapié to essentially fill that spot, but also potentially evolve the team further.
Yeah, is he not just a Kivior replacement of guy who can play left back or
He
left
is
center back?
but he's
Like,
more but
why
he's
are we having conversations about who's gonna be starting at left back and Miles Lewis-Skelly isn't one of the options?
Because he's playing in midfield this year.
He's a midfielder.
I think that
We
much
told you
helps.
this.
He's never played a minute in midfield for us. Like, I know he inverts when he plays left back, but he hasn't actually played midfield for
He'll
us.
play. He'll
When
play.
he does, you're going to send me money, Mitch, okay?
I didn't say that he isn't. I just said that, like, as of right now, we've only seen Miles Lewis-Skelly play left back,
Dude,
and
he's not a real left back. That's not a left back.
I
He's
mean,
been
that's the system that we've played as a left back for, like, since we bought Zinchenko.
Listen, man. Here's my
We were
thinking.
forcing Tierney to invert. That's how stuck we were on how the left back operates in our team.
Well, now we have Eze. We didn't have Eze when we were doing shit like that. And Hincapié, he's not a natural overlapper, but good Lord, can he hit a cross? Good Lord, can he hit a down the line pass? So I just feel like the way the profiles make sense to me, with Gyökeres liking to lean left and Eze cutting in, and you need even if it's not his if he's not as Alejandro Baldi or whatever that guy from Barcelona is, or Nuno Mendes, but that is the sort of, I think that's a model of player we're going to have there. And I think Calafiori is going to get way more minutes in central defense to rotate with Gabriel, because it's really the same thing for him. He's just running through the. He's gonna do the same shit regardless of where we put him, because he's Calafiori. I feel like if Mikel ever asked him to tone it down, he'd be like, "But I'm Ricky, Ricky gonna Ricky." He's such a himbo. When they were doing the huddle before the game, and Rice was doing the little speech, like, "All right, guys, we're gonna get into these motherfuckers," and he wasn't even paying attention. He was like looking at the crowd and smiling at them, singing, "You'll Never Walk Alone," just like, "Oh, this is so pretty." Like, I'm not this guy, man.
Sorry, real quick, because you asked us specifically for hot takes before this episode, and I didn't
I
have
did
one, but
not.
now I do.
I did not.
What?
I
You
did
didn't
not. I
ask
did
for
not.
them? Okay, no,
I
you
did not.
didn't. Cut that part out. We don't edit these. I don't think Anfield has that good of a crowd. I think they're just mad all the time. That's my hot take. They're just angry at everything, and so for whatever, they have a cool song at the beginning of the games, and they're angry all the time, and so people think they're a good stadium to play in, and they're not even that good of a like a crazy of an environment. They're just angry.
That's not a hot take among Liverpool haters, of which I am one. Like, I'm never, I'm
Well, there's a
great.
reason. There's a reason I'm not a hot take guy, is
It's not
because
really a
my
hot
hot
take.
take is very tepid.
We're not really a hot take pod, really, which is why Gabby's
Yeah.
here. Gabby, for us next at the Emirates in like 2 weeks, it feels like. What are you expecting?
I'm expecting that she's reconnecting on her
Still?
Wi-Fi right now.
Damn.
I hope we come back swinging and we have some guys back from injury and get a nice win against a team that lost 3-0 to Graham Potter's West Ham today. So I would hope that we smack them.
Well, to be honest, I think by the time he played him, Mourinho will be managing them. So he's gonna play with people talk about Arteta being a terrorist. They don't know what a terrorist is. They don't. If they knew what a terrorist is, they would never call Arteta that ever, because he will be managing them, and he's gonna come there with 10 centre backs. Trust me. So that's what's gonna probably happen. I will say though, just we've been talking about Nkapie and the squad and whatever else kind of thing. Guys, we went there without, to my mind, still our starting number nine, our best player, our captain, and we lost the lead in 4 minutes. And the expectation was we must still win. Like, had this happened last year, everyone would have taken maybe a 1-0 loss, saying, "Oh yeah, at least we didn't get back," kind of thing. And it's just about how well the squad has been built. The squad's been built, but also what the expectation is there now, because expectation comes from evidence, right? It doesn't come out, get pulled out of thin air. Although a lot of people do that, they just think, oh man, it's people that were disappointed that we weren't winning the league when we were a team that was like finishing eighth. They genuinely thought we should have still won the league somehow, some way, because for lack of a better term, they're fucking idiots, basically. But this year, we were talking during the week. I felt like we could win this game, and the game was there for the winning. It was. Whether we want to admit it or not, with the selection, the game was there for the winning. With the knowledge of the fact that we wouldn't be starting a captain, we wouldn't be starting Saka, we wouldn't be starting with Havertz. We knew that, and we still thought we can win today. Now, is it to do with the fact that Liverpool are a little bit, defensively frail? Yeah, but it's also due to the fact that we think we've got enough quality there. And I think a lot of people thought we'd probably win today as well. It's not just us. So I genuinely think, yeah, like I'm not, I suppose to round off today in general, as well as I'm disappointed with the result, I just keep thinking it's 3 games into the season, and by the sixth game, we would have played Liverpool, United, and Newcastle away. And we would have got one of the City games out of the way as well. So yeah.
This microphone up, man. I'm tired, man.
My bad.
All right. That was very, very, very pleasant, coach, even though we got the last 30 seconds underwater. Come on, AI production, help a brother out. Anything, that should pretty much be it, guys. I think the way I'd round it up is that this was not a bad performance. I don't think it was particularly cowardly. I think if you want a manager to show you that he believes in the depth that the club has purchased for him over the summer, this is how he does it, by giving people chances to play. Like when people weren't even in the squad last week, we thought, oh my goodness, like this is crazy. Then they came into the squad this week and they started to give us minutes. The only error today, from my perspective, and again, we've talked about all this already, is that he didn't make the substitutions at his usual time. I think he was maybe waiting to see how the Curtis Jones thing would evolve the game. But what ended up happening was that our game changers didn't get enough minutes to get warm enough to do something in the game. I feel like we got in good positions. We made good things happen when we were chasing the game, but we may not have had to chase the game at all if we'd won it, because the people who wanted to win the game for us were on plane already and they were warm and ready to go. Mitch, I'll let you get the last word before we go on international break.
This is our first loss in 2 years against a Big Six team. It's pretty damn good.
Three.
Arsenal are 3 years. Arsenal are pretty damn good. And as frustrating as a loss like that is today, at least Nebraska volleyball won. Thanks, Dean.
This fucking guy, you never come to. All right, folks, you know what to tell the people.
Peace.
Hey, folks, this is Dean from the Shirtless Plantain Show. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, and follow us on all our socials. You can see them right beneath our recordings in every video. Thanks again, and see you on the next one.